The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 6th of November, 2025, and you are on the clock with Guy Fawkes Green. I whispered it, right, because my Uncle Stanley Mitchell is in the studio this morning, and I don't know how he feel about that foolishness. What I do know is that it doesn't matter how old you are in this country, you could get pinched at any time. A pinch is a reminder, right? It's a bit of moderation. So you could remember who you are and whose you are, right? That's what the pinch is. And we should be prepared for a pinch, no matter what age we are. Because at any age, at every age, we're required to moderate our behavior as a part of a collective. Now, you could go live in the bush by yourself if you want, but trust me, you're going to have to align with some order. Because the bush has order, whether you could see it or not. One of the most prolific things I heard while I was at school was this message: Dad, as a young person, you're going to rebel. That is inevitable. It will happen. It is happening right now. But you must remember, you can't rebel into nothingness. Everything requires order. You're allowed to rebel. But as you're rebelling, you have to form your path forward. Rebelling ain't just fun, it's hard work. Young people, see, they don't tell you that part because they don't want you to be serious about it. They want you to think it's just a phase. Well, some good old socializing. We've all been through it, right? So we be easy with each other because we know that we've all been conditioned into the behaviors that we practice. Some of us got some good conditioning and some of us got some not so good conditioning. The good thing is, just like washing your hair, you could condition yourself. Save some money. Moderate your own behavior. Anyway, I got a full show this morning. Let me remind you, I got a t-shirt and magazine recycling drive going on. If you've got old t-shirts, you've turned as many into rags as you can. You got old magazines. They both will be put to very good use. Also, we're still running the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition 2025, open to junior and high school students throughout the archipelago. Now, I got a bunch of happy birthdays this morning. Producer, play that song for me. Y'all know one guy named Andrew Jones? Y'all know one island named Cat Island? Y'all know one place named Spirit House? Andrew Jones is a friend of mine. He's made the Bahamas his home. He has a recording studio in Cat Island, as well as a lovely resort, like an eco resort. It's a beautiful thing. But this guy has been making music for decades, and he has decided to make music in. This is a song called Junkanoo by Andrew Jones and Spirit House. Oh, by the way, I play in this to say happy birthday, Andrew Jones. Happy birthday. Also, a very special happy birthday to Miss Carolyn DeMerritt. She's my other auntie, through my auntie Helen Mitchell. Everybody from Nikki's Sweet Temptations and On the Clock with Erin Green say happy birthday, Auntie Carolyn DeMerritt. Happy birthday. We hope you're having a wonderful birthday. And also happy birthday to Brenda Johnson, my Dana DeVoe, Frederica Monroe, Anton Alexu, And then my cousin from across the pond, Annie Littlewood, y'all don't know her, unless you went to St. Elphins. And a number of Bahamians went to St. Elphins. You may know her. Anyway, all summer, with my little broke toe and all of this rainy weather, I didn't get to camp once, not once, this whole summer. And my friend Annie Littlewood been up in old dreary England camping every summer because the weather was wonderful the whole time. I want to say happy birthday to my cousin from another dozen, Annie Littlewood. All right, so we're getting into the show. There's an exciting happening taking place. Have you guys heard about this film, Kidnapping Inc.? Anyway, Kidnapping Inc. is a Haitian production. The director, Bruno Morales, says Kidnapping Inc. is a dark comedy and political thriller inspired by which was non-existent until the 2000s. The story follows two hapless kidnappers tasked with what appears to be a simple job, only to find out that it's anything but, and end up in the middle of a political conspiracy based on real life. The result is a road moving combining City of God's, sorry, a road movie combining City of God's rawness and Pulp Fiction's dark humor. Now, our very own Kareem Mortimer and Best Yet Entertainment is a part of the production for this film. Not only is it a good film, but the film is being submitted to the Oscars, right, by the Haitian Film Mechanism, and it looks like it is going to do very, very well. Again, it's a dark comedy political thriller. It was produced in 2023. It's about an hour, no, 103 minutes, so you're well over an hour and 20 minutes. And it is being featured at Island House, the one and only Island House, next weekend from Friday the 14th of November to Wednesday the 19th of November 2025. We say congratulations to Kareem Mortimer for another, you know, what I expect to be award-winning project. If y'all remember Kareem Mortimer from his short Daybreak to Children of God, and he's just kept going ever since. Congratulations, Kareem, and to the whole team for Kidnapping Inc. Like I told you guys, I have joining me in studio Mr. Stanley Mitchell. Good morning, Mr. Mitchell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you know, Mr. Mitchell is a sports historian. He is, I want to say, a retired athlete, but I ain't going to say that yet because he's going to join my Parking League. And I want to add this title, resume. Like the young man said on the commercial, why the woman asked me for my resume? Say, miss, you ain't never press pause. Why I must resume? Anyway, Mr. Mitchell is also a sports advocate, right? And so I've invited him here to talk about what he wants to talk about, but I wanted him to walk through the schedule for November Sports Month with me as well. But we're going to start with what Mr. Mitchell wants to bring to the table this morning. Good morning, sir.
Morning. I want to bring three things to the table. I'll save the best for last. In my group, in a couple of chat groups I'm in, they're sport groups. They're wondering why the men's team that came third in the world in 1980 in Tacoma, Washington, hasn't been honored as yet, whereas the women who came third a year later are being honored. And was it too much to do both of them the same time? What's the hold up? I mean, from 1980, 20, 45 years, mm-hmm. and nothing for these men. In fact, they're saying 10 of them have died since they've won this,
yes.
this prestigious award, and nobody is saying anything. Is it because we have a new female director of sports? Is it and the women are being honored this year? Or is it because Mother Pratt, the Governor General, was on the team and they want to do her first? Mm-hmm. But nobody says anything, and you don't get any answers.
So there's no formal process, the rationale for the selections to the sports community.
You should see the list that they have for the people going to be on it on one of these things today. It's an arm's length long or a sabbath journey to anywhere. And I've been around sports for 100 years, and I can tell you, I don't know but four or five people on this list of why they're being honored and what's the rationale. And we keep asking for it every year. And it's like the sporting bodies are afraid to approach the ministry or call them out and just let this thing drift down the road. One of them that's been drifting down the road has been Frank Rutherford from 1992. His dilemma was that he left the country in 1992 and the PLP was in power. Mm-hmm. And by the time he won the first Olympic track and field medal and came back, the FNM was in power. Mm-hmm. And somehow during all of that, they say he shunned or disrespected the new minister at the time. But numerous governments have been in and out of power.
Since then.
And he hasn't gotten his due. And he's the first. Mm-hmm. And the Golden Girls and the Golden Knights and Tonique Williams, and they won't. I forget the word, they're eating my brains. They won't go back to him to give him what is due for being the first. It's like, these common, sir. I can't say that.
So, when we look at the Frank Rutherford case, right, when you said 1992 transition of power, I thought that could have been extremely overwhelming, right, for a new FNM coming in after 5 years, right? After 5 terms.
Oh.
After 5 terms of 5 years,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
But we've now passed almost 25 years, right? We could get back to it. In advocacy with women's rights planning National Women's Week, what I realize is that there's kind of a disconnect from the mechanism within the ministries that produce the content for the week and the final decision makers sitting in cabinet, right? And so often a final product would be produced to be taken up the hierarchy, and by the time...
You know, you're talking over most of our heads, eh? You better come down to a level where we could understand. What I don't understand is this VJ fella.
VJ, Edgecombe,
just playing 4 games. 3 games by the time they made him on this list for this new thing. 1 game, and all of a sudden he's everything but a child of God, and they're gonna make him that soon. But we've had people who play basketball around him, before him, better than him, and they don't get this kind of honor
or attention.
I went to a function the other night. I couldn't believe it. They're honoring some people, but during the function, they showed a video of a young man that just came up in Carifta and won some medals, right? And they want to put him, Julian Brown and people like Hector is Julian Brown, I want to say, and people long before have done these things, and it's like we're new, so what comes new is our new. Forget the old. We don't know nothing about the old, so it starts today. VJ Edgecombe shouldn't be on anything. He could break his leg. He could don't finish the season. He could get on dope or get in an arena in a nightclub and shoot it up with a gun, and y'all want to honor him already? Y'all stupid, eh?
It begs the question, is there an actual national sports framework?
No, they might as well just bulldoze down there and make it farmland for the farming to come. Because mm-hmm. they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Now, I've been sticking on VJ because I think it's problematic for VJ and for the broader sports community to, like you say, put the spotlight on him without it being a process of contextualizing the broader sports community.
How he gets there. You know what it is? The minister only knows basketball, so they can promote basketball in their ministry until they leave, and I hope it's soon.
And so it begs the question about the structure within the ministry and the decision-making process, right? How is information fed up to the minister? Are the people feeding up the information to the minister?
You don't have to feed nothing up to a minister of sports. Minister of Sports supposed to be on top of everything and telling them what to do. Feed up what? This little 21x7 and couple of islands? Come on. Well, they do better than this, man. The whole thing is going. I see the fabric tearing at every edge.
All right. So in the ministry's announcement for National Sports Month, which is November, every year, they announced the unveiling of 6 new portraits at Legends Walk at the entrance of the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, including one of Bahamian baseball star Jazrado Jazz Chisholm Jr.
For what? Come on, man. Y'all get grasping at something? Y'all want excitement or something?
Is political expediency... There's the political culture.
Man, Eddie Ford just died the other day. One of our best all-around athletes of any time and anyhow.
Do you know if he will be included on this year's walk?
I haven't heard.
They
keep it under wraps so I don't make no noise. Well, but noise I will make if you all keep doing this foolishness because I ain't got nothing to lose. And let me make the declaration. I'm a PLP. So I ain't run no government.
We're just talking about
sports. And what you were saying, conceptualizing. People got to know why these things are being done. Otherwise, any director, any minister could just decide that's what they want and just do it.
And also to
it's gotta stop.
To define the scope of discretion, right? Like, what is the scope of a minister's authority or discretion in all matters, right? And how does one find that out? The World Championship men's softball team that placed third.
Right.
Are there any honors, awards, recognitions, commemorations from local leagues or from international leagues?
Well, a couple of them have been inducted into the International Softball Hall of Fame. Some are in our local Hall of Fame, but the team as it in itself
has not been recognized at the national level.
The Golden Girls were recognized, and the Golden Knights were recognized. And the history is going to be lost. And you can't grow a country without telling its history. And these people just let it go on and on. You know what happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
A background situation was that they went to play in this tournament, but South Africa at the time, and our then prime minister ordered them home. And a few came home. I want to say that, but that's my jock. And the rest stayed and played and came third. I don't know if that cross, I don't know if there's some they leave in the prime minister's office where they say, don't ever honor them. Don't ever honor Frank in no big way. Don't give him no money, no house, no land, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Or don't honor these people because they disobeyed my call for them to come home for apartheid.
Let's back to that story. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Fine. Good morning, Daddy. Mitchell, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, man. Long time no see.
That might be a good thing.
You know something? You're speaking the truth, my brother. You know, nothing can happen good in this country until the most two die in place.
The who?
Not the Wicked Moses
Crew. Oh, the Moses Crew. I ain't the Moses fucking boat.
No, but I put you part of the Caleb. I'm part of the Caleb.
Okay, I'll take that.
You part of the Caleb. You and Professor Thompson on top of the Fort Hill. And until then, you is part of the Caleb crew.
Okay.
You will give the younger people the guidance to fix this country. Nothing wicked in this country.
You
no,
will.
People can't afford whom? People can't afford land. Nobody getting paid. I don't know. But the mission, like you said, might have only gone, you know. The wrong thing you can do, my brother, is fool with a strong nose.
Yeah,
you go on, you lose
I come into that next. That's
you
the third one I want to talk about.
You have
about.
No idea. You see, you're oppressing some of the people to do this thing. See, Aaron, like I keep telling you, in order for some things to happen, you got to talk. Don't get nothing done in this country. Our people are too passive. Too passive. You know what I mean? Yes, you might lose some faith. And I don't know what happened to my boy, Kingsley Ferguson and Melinda. Listen, man, now it's time to shut this country down. All the baby people who can't pay the light bill and water bill and no food, go. Everybody go and sign up to Mr. LaRota to get food. Force the government to start taking care of the baby people, man. The foreigners come in, nothing, get crown land free. You know, entitled deeds. But all of them is taxes to debt. Aaron, I forget, you know, because I was registered. I forget to sign off. And then people charge me over $200. Charge me $200.
For
4 months, a small business person like you, who's only hire behemoths, who pay NIB, who doing the truth and do the right thing in this country. But look, like when you do wrong thing in this country, you get rewarded. You be embarrassed or you this and you that. That's all I can say. But I just be on the ground. But I want to give kudos to Mr. Henschel for coming on the park yesterday and feeding the home people, man.
Good.
He's a good man. I wish I could catch the Lord. He's so why I could give him. Because he's the only pastor that I would give something to. He's doing his job.
I
take my colleague.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I heard so much history that I don't know in that one exchange just now, right? There's a dearth of knowledge. Not that it doesn't exist, but it doesn't exist unless it's accessible, right? But let's go to...
Good morning, Aaron Green. Good morning, Uncle.
Morning.
How are you doing?
You're talking about the fellas who are in honor here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a curse, Aaron Green. Let me tell you why I say that.
Okay.
They disrespect... The 1975. Your uncle know about 1975.
You talking about Obed?
Of course. Obed didn't get on it yet. I when I was in Jamaica, I drive on a highway called Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
And I was and Jamaican proud to know that the highway named after Bob Marley.
After Obed. But
I
don't want it to be a highway. You know what I want it to be?
No, that's
hold on,
my
hold
example.
On, I know. It's a good example. But I want it to be something different. I want some of these web shop owners who say they need a moratorium still. I want them to partner with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right, to create a gym. And we're going to name the gym after Obed. And it's going to be a space for conflict resolution, right?
What?
Well, are we going to show young people and young men, because that's the target audience kind of right now, we're going to show them that there is power. There's power in their fists.
Uh-huh.
There's power in, right? You know, that they are powerful people in and of themselves. It's up to them to choose how to use that power, right? So I don't want to just call a name a road after Obed. I want to create something sustainable so the message of Obed could live on, that this boxing thing has value, and it has value to young people and to young men in particular. So, right, that they could start being men instead of performing masculinity.
But what I need to find out,
man, go on.
Aaron and Uncle, why do you hate Elijah Obed so much? Why do you hate him?
Okay, pause. I can let Mr. Mitchell answer after I say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reading the article, Sports Ministry Launches National Sports Month, we see that November 23rd kicks off National Boxing Week.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a ton of, I'll read through it in a second, we get to it, there's going to be a ton of activities taking place, and hopefully in that space, this conversation could take place. Right?
Uh-huh.
Why?
I hope so.
They don't have a lot of details here, but hopefully that'll be a part of the week's activities, a conversation about how the Federation and community is going to honor Obed, lobby the government, and see how they're going to lobby the public to join a lobby for the state to commemorate him at the national level. In fact, I like how you say that. I got another call. I got to go.
Before let me wrap it up.
Okay, hold on. I let you wrap it up. And then Mitchell will respond to you. Many countries, when they erect monuments, the monuments are grand. They like the Statue of Liberty. They're huge. We need a statue of Obed catching the wind with them mighty hands because we in the windland. Anyway, something huge like that. Last point.
Yeah, I agree. Whatever they do, please, man. The reason why, you heard your uncle talk about all the Frank Rutherford and all of them. The reason why they're not going to get respect and honor because they have to move the curse. Let me end with this. The curse with Elijah Obed, the minister of sports, no Elijah Obed. From before he became minister of sports, he was a coach and all of that. Mm-hmm. Let's start going back to the foundation before you even go up. If you can't go up, forget going up. You can't honor my man. And if different people who play a vital role, so many people get reward. One white people get reward so many times. Elijah Obed never get it any time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bonkinita, have a good day.
I got you.
Bonkinita, it comes right down to racism. A poor black boy, a boy who they became disappointed with after he did what he did on some of the things he did afterwards. And I keep trying to tell them, don't try to separate the achievement from whatever happened to the person. They do the same thing to Sabandi Hanna. They did the same thing to, you know, but they won't do it to a Timmy Barrett. They won't do it to a Tommy Robinson because they perceive some kind of pressure or their background. But Obed had none of that, and they just cast him aside. Mm-hmm. We've been fighting for Obed. He's our main, and I'm glad you brought him up, our main point of contention, who should be honored the most amongst all of them. So I'm with you, my brother, and the beat goes on.
All right. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to the General, Mr. Mitchell.
Good morning. Good morning.
Mitchell, you're always selfless in these agendas, but I just wanted to say, I don't know Sabandi Robinson, but I'm 61, but I do remember Mike Sands, Boston Blackie, and Elijah Obed. And I'll just share this with you as a young man from my perspective, right, because you're much older than me. So I remember, you know, in the Grove, as we would see these guys, right, in person, especially Boston Blackie, because he used to ride bicycles, right? And then he lived in Yellow Island, and he used to be to the gym there, right by the complex, right?
Right.
So he would always have influence on young men, and as we see him, you know, the exuberance that we got, he would always shout his name and tell him to leave through the corner. You know what I mean, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
So as we see Boston Blackie, that's what everybody would shout. And so I think Elijah Obed might have been related to Mr. Bain, who wanted to show up to the corner, but we used to see him. And at the time, and so I just want to thank Aaron also because, you know, Aaron and I don't always agree, but Aaron, I wanted to say exactly what you said. I don't know why, how we ended up at the same crossroad. Roads in Nassau are too short, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the building complex was exactly what I was aiming at because then, I don't know if you remember the cowboy days, like Mr. Mitchell, you know, sometimes the cowboy would put up the gonads enough to put his gun aside and they say we would box it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will end up fighting until you get tired, so that would prove who's who. But the same thing Aaron said is actually, if that could happen, I think we'll have less violence on the streets. And then the fact that the young men will be saying, who's Elijah Obed? They mean this building after him. And we'll be able to pull some of them off of the streets because they will be able to go in there and time as they come or they'll be tired. They might go to bed or go read a book or do something else. But I just wanted Aaron, you know, I really miss Michelle Malcolm on the show. Aaron, you kind of filled the spot, but what I'm saying is, as it relates to what JJ was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get some things from the Academy of Ideas? Because he spoke about passivity. So I know you're very intelligent. And I wonder if we can juxtapose passivity, despair, disillusion, apathy, operant conditioning, and learned helplessness all together. Because I think they all combine together to make us feel that way. But passivity do breed mediocrity and mental illness. It does. I'll send you that. But
absolutely.
It does. Give thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So when.
But you'll be happy to know, caller, you're gone, that in my day, I grew up on the Ford Hill, but down at the end, the hill of East Street, there was a YMCA. Mm-hmm. And when we fought on the street, or they caught us fighting in the yard, and then they would take the two young men down to that YMCA, put gloves on them, and say, y'all work it up. And after bruising up one another, whoever won, then they say, hug each other or shake hands, and y'all go where y'all going. Mm-hmm. And that took conflict resolution mm-hmm. to a higher level. We all became friends. Because
yeah.
the Mason's Edition fellas would fight the Fort Hill fellas and back and forth. But we understand your concept very well.
Absolutely. Somebody asked me, where can I sign up for the Parking League? So there are two Parking Leagues. Dr. Ancelino Davis is the organizer for one of the Parking Leagues. But call Four Wall Squash Club on Village Road and ask them when the Parking League meets again. As a champion parker. I could park a raccoon out a dilly tree like nothing. The only problem is I can't throw rocks into trees, and I can't waste fruit on raccoons. So I put my parking on pause. Producer, let's go to the phone line quickly. And then I don't want my Bimini people to get mad at me, right? We're going to highlight a bit of what VJ has been doing, but it's because we need to contextualize the broader sports space and what's happening.
There's 100 people in Bimini that come before him that I could name right off my head, man. So tell him, slow the roll, man.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
I can understand my friend's pain.
Hey.
Much.
What you say?
Right, your boy. Listen here. I think we kind of still understand exactly where we are in.
Where are we?
We are in a, what I call a neo-colonial framework, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, when you have any male that comes into the spotlight, if he can't be used, he is going to be sidelined. In politics, in sports, whatever. It's just the buy and set. You see, I think, you achieve something on the world stage, and the amount of spotlight that is placed on you, it can be a problem for persons in your country who don't want to share that spotlight in any form or fashion. Now, something is, I believe the women are on it, primarily because, you know, they are not much of a problem in terms of taking away the spotlight. You know,
yeah.
Now it's a testosterone problem, man. That's all it is.
Okay.
I hear you.
Hey, and you got the correct person on the side of you to help you deal with that problem. You know, she's good.
The police tell me I have to stop handling mine. You couldn't hear the police calling just now?
Hey. She's been, she's been advocating for us for a while now.
Yeah, she thinks she's me a motley believer.
Wait, stop.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, have a good day. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Morning, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm trying to get Miss Erin Green's show.
You're on the clock, but this is Parkin Green. This ain't Erin. How are you doing, sir?
Okay, yourself.
Good.
I'd like to speak to make mention of your uncle who's beside you.
Yes, sir.
Stanley.
I'm listening.
Stanley, how are you doing?
Oh, good. How are you? Yeah.
Down the road from you?
Yeah. My biggest, the biggest man in San School.
Man, I am so proud of you, what you mentioned here earlier in the show, of athletes of our country. You know, some are not even recognized who should have been recognized. But I know you are the man right now on the show who can probably answer those questions for some of our athletes. You know, we all grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
And your brother put a first basketball in my hand.
Okay.
Okay.
And none of y'all could have played. But anyhow, you became president and all. So, you know what could happen in this country. Go ahead. Only mess.
You can probably say a lot of things for athletes. Basketball, baseball because you were one of the bombers in your school during your time.
We only got about 10 more minutes, and that'll take 100 hours.
Okay, well, anyway, you take care of us in sports, and just make sure I know you can say the right things.
Okay.
Okay.
Will do.
You keep it up, and good to hear you.
Thanks, man. Good to hear you, too.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
But governments only understand numbers. They don't understand individuals. Him, he just talking yap, yap, yap. But if you show up with 50, 100 people.
They begin to.
Like JJ and them say, we too passive and we just let everybody else do it.
I wanted to get back to that, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you said race, I thought about this headline with my MP talking about race, right? With him saying that no one has faced more racial attacks than he has. White, I have no reason to apologize.
White?
Yeah.
Tell White he likes to do it. Take these blows for what his ancestors did 100 years ago, man, and let it go.
It's
about time they get attacked.
Well, I say empathy and understanding, but when we talk about race and how race operates in the space, and people say, but there's a majority black country and it's black people making the
black
decisions.
Black people like white people, man. But like you said, just say neo-colonialism.
I wanted to go back to that, right? There is a passivity that has been bred through the colonial experience,
yes.
Right? That
we've been taught to hate ourselves, and white is better.
Yeah.
I won't get to the JCNP and what the other one name, because you need to explain that to me.
Oh, boy.
Who is who?
Okay.
And who does what and why one has so much power and the other one not? Because I don't understand.
All right. I am a bit of a novice in that. You know what? Let's do this. Producer, let's go to the break. Play Guy Fawkes by Tony McKay when we come back from the break, please. When we get back from the break, we're going to delve into what is supposed to be the nation's number one sport.
Yeah.
Junkanoo.
That scares me when I hear them talking about it might not be and they got the power to do this and that. I'll join anyone down on Bay Street and sit down when it comes to that.
Well, listen, I tell them I could bring the Anglo-Saxons back if they don't get it together.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. Anglo-Saxons will be back on Bay. Because who Bay for? I mean, that's the real question. Who is Bay for? If it ain't for Junkanoo, who is it for then? Anyway, we're going to a break. You guys stay tuned. This is On the Clock with Aaron Green. Back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later,
everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course. Not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Oh. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor at 202-300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Joining me in studio today is Mr. Stanley Mitchell. And I know it's Thursday. We normally do sports on Friday. We got some huge happening tomorrow with the Guardian family, at least a couple of shows. It's going to be great. See, I wanted to run through the National Sports Hall of Fame list with Mr. Mitchell. Before we get to Junkanoo, I just got two quick questions, Mr. Mitchell. Ernie Barr for boxing.
Mm-hmm. I know him. I got 1,000 pictures of him. He was a top boxer at the time. Boston and all those used to box.
Wow, cool. Now, the top name I wanted to ask about quickly, G. Roll. Now, I know there's a Joe Billy Junkanoo Festival, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's all I know.
Right.
Right? In fact, up to this point reading this article, when I read, hold on, what do you mean you're honoring him for horse racing and not Junkanoo? Right? Who's Joe Billy Roll?
Call the ministry.
And ask them?
Yeah.
Is there any place where his biography and his career is documented in one place? No.
No.
Okay, let's talk about Junkanoo. Since I have something legitimate to row about now. Apparently, I didn't have anything legitimate to row about before. But I'll say this again. Let me contextualize my participation in this broader Junkanoo conversation. If you're pulling close to $30 million out of the economy every year for two festivals, for two parades, let's call it a festival season with the other smaller parades. If you're pulling $30 million out of the economy every year, then this conversation is everybody's business. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't buy that only a real Junkanoo could feel the beat of the drum. You're talking about the Gombe drum, right? You're talking about our beat, the Bahamian beat, right? Of us. Anyway, it's been lots of trouble in Junkanoo land, and we're hoping that all will be resolved by Boxing Day. So, Mr. Mitchell, here's what I have surmised, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this may be the root. I think I can start at what I think may be the root of the problem. Junkanoo has recently been recognized or designated in tangible cultural heritage.
Okay.
Entity, product, thing. That process caused the government to have to or to want to legislate, create a new space by through legislation, a new framework for the operation of Junkanoo now that it is being regarded as an intangible cultural heritage product or thing, entity. I think if we had started,
mm-hmm.
right, we would have had a much clearer conversation. Is that the government's fault? Well, don't ask me because I could blame the government for everything. Right? But perhaps the conversation would have gone differently if the government announced to the country, the broad public, and not just stakeholders in the community, that we are undergoing a process to reform or reshape, to expand or enhance the practice of Junkanoo through legislation that recognizes its designation as an intangible cultural heritage entity or product or expression or experience, and that has caused us to create this new legislation and framework for the operation of Junkanoo.
And who is going to do that?
Well, the government has, well, or who's going to have that conversation?
Who was going to?
The Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture would be responsible for initiating the conversation, for facilitating the conversation, for creating the space for the conversation, and for liaising with the stakeholders identified to lead the space. What resources are required from the state to fulfill this process, right? I think that the lack of information led to an environment that just lacked clarity entirely, right? Now, while that's happening, we have a couple of things happening, right? We have the issue with the Valley Boys. It becomes a legal issue. Now, when I recognize that the court said that nobody should use the word, use the name Valley Boys until the court ruling, the court process is finished. I'm talking about the one body, no separation, right? Mm-hmm. Some issues within that group arose around the operation of the group, the legal structure of the group, and the management of the group. Now, that while that was happening, right, questions arose around JCNP's management of the space or oversight of the space entirely. One of the points that I raised that a JCNP in and of itself is not a bad thing to provide oversight, to facilitate management of the two-day parades. What is likely the problem is that the composition of the JCNP constitutes a massive conflict of interest. If all of the members of the JCNP are group representatives, and that's just it, only group representatives, without a...
I thought that was a good thing at one time.
In and of itself could be a good thing if you have mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest. That, and those mechanisms can work at the pace of the process, right? The Bahamas is too small for us to think that we could operate without conflicts of interest arising.
So what do you think happens after New Year's Day parade? What does the JCNP or the, what do they do?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not know. Right? I'm sure they're doing something, but you can't go to their website and find that out. In fact, you cannot find their website without a link. It's almost as if it's not intended for public access, that it's a private space on the internet. You need a passcode, a password to get beyond the cover page.
Oh.
Right? And so I don't know, and I think that in and of itself is an issue as well. The presumption of independence and the presumption of a lack of transparency is acceptable may also be another issue, right? So what does the JCNP do after the parades? I don't know. And I want to emphasize that because for me, one of the issues that arose, right, was that we have misplaced our focus. The focus need not be on the Valley Boys, not the JCNP, not the wider public. But the focus should be on the prodigal sons, and I'm using them because they are the example, and the state of affairs where the prodigal sons have received seed money year after year, but have been unable to make it to Bay. And the point that I made was that if we are being asked to assess who is the better steward of Junkanoo, surely the JCNP could not be approaching us, the public, to tell us it's them when a group like the Prodigal Sons could not make it to Bay. Let's just be generous and say 4 out of 10 times.
Right.
And the JCNP has not figured out that there is a need to enhance its function to support groups to ensure that they could make it to Bay, especially after they received the seed money. Is no way that we have the prodigal sons, they miss Bay, and they say, well, we had a fire. Well, no, they miss Bay. Then the next year, they miss Bay, and they say they had a fire.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, they miss Bay, and they get money back from you. They gave the money back, right? We're not questioning their integrity.
Okay.
Not the prodigal sons. We're not questioning their integrity. And then the next year, they're in the parade. They get disqualified. And then the parade management team comes back in the broadcast because you announced that they weren't where they were supposed to be in the broadcast. And then you come back and you announce, well, they're on the parade. And then it turns out that you don't want to penalize them because the issue that prevented them from getting to the gate have nothing to do with them. It's a management issue, right, that may not have been considered given that the parade time was changed due to weather.
Who governs the JCNP?
The JCNP is telling us it governs itself, which I think is problematic. But let's stick a pin because we got a caller and the caller been waiting. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
We would have a better understanding of what's happening with Junkanoo. If you see it as you know, it was a failed attempt by the Junkanoo authority to monetize culture.
Okay, pause.
Yes.
Now, what you said, would that perspective or position change if I reiterate that the government went through a process of having Junkanoo recognized by UNESCO as an intangible cultural heritage product?
That don't mean nothing. That don't mean anything.
Okay.
Because Junkanoo ain't got nothing to do with those outside things. Junkanoo is a Bahamian thing.
But that outside thing is a mechanism intended to support countries in preserving their indigenous and cultural expressions.
But if something is truly a part of your culture, you don't need no outside entity. You don't need, if the support has to come from the outside, it's not your culture anymore.
Okay, stick a pin. I appreciate what you're saying, but the experience of Africans in the diaspora is slightly different. See, because for 300, 400 years, we had the African beaten out of us. UNESCO recognizes that for the African diasporic and post-colonial spaces, it may be more difficult to retain, to hold on to one's culture because of the experiences of slavery and the pernicious, pernicious means dastardly. It means you go in the road and you cuss a priest. You can never get forgiven for that. That's what pernicious means.
Aaron.
Uh-huh.
That's all well and good, right?
Uh-huh.
But when we're looking, okay, we in history, we were handed a constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
No changes up to now have been made to that, right?
We have not had any. Hold on.
Okay.
There are two types of constitutional reform. One requires a public input, and one does not, right? And so our constitution may have had some changes, but those changes didn't require public input. Let me put it like that briefly and loosely.
And those changes did not impact what we now call the neo-colonial framework.
Maybe. That's because we ain't changed 73-1A yet. But when we change 73-1A, we gonna be waking with gas.
Only a certain thing comes out of a framework, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is designed to come out of that. Okay?
Okay.
Now, our problem with the Junkanoo thing is that it was a good idea in terms of us having, in terms of us having this body, right? But nothing was given over to public consultation.
But that's what I say at the beginning, Uncle.
It was a private event. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the mindset that we are actually, it's the mindset of our leaders that we are having a problem with. They are very comfortable with a neo-colonial mindset.
I got you. Thank you very much. I got to go, though, because I all out of time.
Be good.
Oh, yeah.
I all out of time. Here. It says, Aaron, do you beat a drum or shake a cowbell, ma'am? Then stay out of their business. Dare text, I rush for the greatest producer. Hold on. The greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo, white people in the whole world of spirit. And I shake my cowbell with my rainbow colors on down Bay Street because I's a sissy Bahamian. And if I want Junkanoo, Nobody could stop me from junk canoeing. Not even you, Texter. Y'all stop that foolishness. You can cause me bring the Anglo-Saxons back again. I ain't gonna tell you, but Corinne Mitchell tell me the king is my cousin. And the king can't stop me from going on beta junk canoe if I want junk canoe. Okay, Texter? The other Texters, I'm sorry about that. Any idea what the clip about claiming to have reached a resolve for the junk canoe parade, was that real or was that AI? Okay, so there was a meeting yesterday that involved the Shell Saxon Superstars and the NJC, the National Junk Canoe Committee. It turns out that one or more than one of the members of the Shell Saxon Superstars who were at that meeting are also a part of the JCNP body. The NJC released a statement yesterday, and it's in today's paper. You could pick it up. I think it is in today's Guardian front page, clarifying that the picture and the press release that came out was not signifying a change in position with the government and the JCNP, but it was simply a meeting with members of the Saxons, and some of those members are also JCNP members. Right? Pick up today's Nassau Guardian so you could read it for yourself. Don't trust me, because when I went to go change my name to Junkanoo Green, the people asked me, does you stand for UNESCO or does it stand for you don't own Junkanoo? And my head ain't been right since. Mr. Mitchell, thank you for joining me next Friday, okay, if you could make it.
All right.
You guys have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.